Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
From Postcard from the Past and Wardour Studios, this is Podcast from the Past, the Postcard Podcast. This is the podcast where each time my guests revisit picture postcards that they have for some reason held on to, and together we try to understand what it is that caused them to keep these tiny, sometimes beautiful, sometimes hideous cardboard rectangles. Each time I welcome to the studio two guests, and it's their postcards that act as tiny prompts to send us memories, mysteries and stories, or somewhere else altogether. I'm Tom Jackson, and I'm delighted to say that my guests today are musician and composer Kate Garner and comedian and writer Alex Keeley. Alex and Kate, welcome to Podcast from the Past.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
Now, Kate Garner is a singer and a pianist and a composer. Her work sometimes sounds like this.
Please don't talk about me when I'm gone.
Sometimes like this.
Second or two.
Sometimes like this.
Miss Elizabeth has gone too far this time.
Now, live these days, Kate plays with her band and her recent shows, possibly influenced by listening to a wind-up gramophone bought for her at the age of 12 by her dad, draw on songs from the 30s, and they also feature on her latest album, Songs from the Art Deco Decades, and they sound a bit like this. Kate comes from a long line of musicians. Her grandmother, Daisy Hodges, was a gifted pianist who played piano in the pubs of London. And her late father was, of course, Chas Hodges, who had a long musical career before even becoming half of Chas and Dave. And he, of course, was responsible for hit after hit between 1979 and 1987, bringing a special brand of Cockney rock, the first Cockney rock, really, to the charts and also to the hearts of the nation, I think.
Rockney,
yeah. Exactly. I was trying to avoid saying that.
That's all right. Chuck it in.
Now, Kate comes to us today bearing a postmark from Rye in Sussex.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, because it is somewhere that we used to go as kids, and then when I started writing my musical about Mappa Lucia by E.F. Benson, which we'll talk a bit about in a minute, it's actually set in Rye, which is called Tilling. But before that, my mum spent time there as a child. My mum and dad used to go and stay there. And it just became one of those places we always ended up going.
Sort of escape from London for a short time?
Yeah, I think so. And I think also mum and dad would always stop at Kent because my dad loved Kent because he lived there as a child.
Oh, OK. So
there was
a connection.
For him, yeah, there was a real connection. And, yeah, we just loved it there. And it does feel like it never changes. Never.
But Rye's kind of an island, isn't it? Because it should have water around, but it doesn't because the sea went away.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, when I did the musical, it had to be about Rye, or Tilling, should I say. So, yeah, that would be the place, Tom. That would be the postmark that I would first think of.
We won't try and rub that postmark off you then.
No.
That can stay. That
no,
can stay.
That can stay, yeah,
now,
definitely.
Kate, do you still send postcards?
I do, and I write. And my best friend who lives in Norfolk, we have written to each other since college. We write letters, we write postcards.
Really?
I'm not joking now, don't laugh. I use brown fountain ink and sealing wax.
You're joking.
I do.
This is a bit Harry Potter, isn't it?
I do. We love the art of letter writing and postcards.
Very good.
Yeah, we're obsessed. We love it.
So, and so you're both equally obsessed. And did you find that when you meet up, you've got nothing to talk about because you've said it all?
Yeah, well, like you do, your postcards, we just do the headlines and then tell you more when I see you sort of thing.
Very good. Yeah. That's one of the great lines in letters and postcards, actually. I'll tell you more later.
Yeah. Exactly,
the bit you don't want the postman to read.
Yeah, and you think, oh, here we go. Yeah.
Very good.
So, I'm not just saying that for effect. It's true.
Well, you're allowed to stay. This is
good. Like to write. In any way, and my dad did very much so. He was always writing, always.
I suppose life on tour, you're often away from home a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And that would be anything from, obvious songs, but letters and books. He wrote books, wrote some very funny books, and postcards.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Right. Well, I'm sure we'll hear about those in a minute.
Yeah.
Now, Alex Keeley is a comedian who came to prominence by reaching the final of So You Think You're Funny. Such a sort of combative title.
It's appalling as a title.
Alex has been described as possessing a whip smart wit. So I don't even know what that means.
Yeah.
But let's see. And he's taken 4 hours of stand-up to the Edinburgh Fringe. Was that just one very long show? Or?
Oh, yeah. That would be exactly the sort of thing that I would terrify my director with in April. Being, what if the problem in previous years has been that it's not been 3 hours longer than and the audiences, instead of the 40-minute lull, we'll have the famous 2-hour and 30-minute lull where they just descend.
Probably long shows have been done. You can't compete with Mark Watson with his 6-week show, whatever he does.
Exactly.
You'd have to spend the rest of your life doing a show. that's a number of shows over time.
Yeah, so four years in a row I've taken shows up the Fringe. I will be taking one up this year, providing it all goes ahead, which is the...
Oh, I see, yes, because of the plague that is invited upon us.
If you couldn't really make up a scenario as bad as the Edinburgh Fringe for spreading a viral infection, right?
It's like quite a lot of infections, I imagine.
Yes, exactly. I hear from the more adventurous performers. Yeah. So hopefully a fifth one this year.
You'll have heard some of Alex's jokes on Mock the Week, the News Quiz, the Now Show. And Alex is also the organiser of a thing called the Comedy Grotto, which is a charity fundraising night, a regular gig, which he puts together in aid of the UNHCR's Syria appeal.
Yeah, exactly.
How did that come about?
I used to run it for a different charity, and I think in about 2014, 2015, I sort of changed that because of the situation that continues sort of to be. it's a monthly comedy night that... lots of fantastic comedians come down and sort of try out new material, and it's sort of in a fun basement. And we get great acts. We've had like Bridget Christie, we've had James Acaster, we've had lots of amazing people.
Very good.
Yeah.
For a good cause.
For a good cause.
Terrific. Now Alex comes to us today with a, I think I can read it, GU34 postmark.
Yes. Yeah.
Where the devil's that?
That is near Petersfield in Hampshire, so it's a Guildford postmark, but that bit of East Hampshire is so weak that it's been overrun by a sort of Surrey-based Guildford postmark.
I didn't read about that invasion.
exactly. It was a very, very bourgeois invasion of...
In Land Rovers.
exactly. that's my family's... house. That's where my mum and dad live. But we lived abroad. So my dad's a retired diplomat, so we lived abroad quite a lot. But been where we've sort of lived in Britain for the last 20 years, and they moved back properly about 15 years ago there. But we lived, so really, really the diplomatic bag is something I should have brought you something from the diplomatic bag today rather than
Does diplomatic post have its own postmark? Is there some special thing? It must be.
I don't know.
It's something really fancy with a coat of arms on it, doesn't it?
I think there literally is a bag,
right.
which is that's doing the job of Mr. Postman. Absolutely do not be reading.
Oh, so it's just sitting in there. He doesn't need any kind of postmark if it's in the bag.
I'm going to guess that the reason it's called that is literally because it's a bag. I think there is sort of a bag.
Very good.
We await listeners that know more about this.
So anyone from the Foreign Office who can help us with this. Now, Alex, when did you last send, either via the diplomatic bag or not, a postcard?
I'm trying to think. So I think I put letter writing in the same category as playing the piano and learning the guitar and baking and jogging, which are all things that are excellent, but that I just,
And they're all on your CV.
Exactly. Yeah, proficient in jogging and letter writing. But no, I'm very bad at, it's something that I wish I did much more. And the number of postcards you receive are somewhat a function of the number that you send, I feel.
Yes. So you have, you're a friend who might be a corresponding friend. Yeah. Friends who don't correspond, you don't correspond with. Does
exactly.
That make sense?
Maybe that, yeah, I need to get together with six friends and we need to start a sort of trend amongst our friendship circles, and then that can kind of calm our old
Oh, but that sounds dreadful, doesn't it?
No.
You set it up on purpose.
Right, right.
It has to happen organically. But you do have this post-crossing thing people do sometimes. Have you come across this?
No, what's that?
People join a club online and they sign up to it. It's sort of organised online, and strangers send them postcards and they send strangers postcards.
Really?
Now, I don't personally see the point of that.
Yeah, that sounds weird.
Because there's no warmth in getting a card from a stranger, I don't think. But if you just like getting posts through the letterbox, then why not? Why not?
Did you ever have a pen pal?
I briefly had a pen pal.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know what to do with it. Yeah.
Now, you know, with email and that. So it's not really necessary.
It would be an e-pal.
Yeah, e-pal.
Yeah, and that sounds slightly sinister as well, doesn't
it? Like,
sort of thing you get in your inbox and hope not to open.
Well, that cross-letter thing does sound like the kind of analogue version of those things where it's like, if you don't send this to 20 of those sort of slightly guilt-trip chain emails.
Chain mail.
So you like the bad thing continuing to happen, do you? Unless you send it to 20 of your friends.
When I'm going through my big boxes of postcards, I occasionally find postcards that are chain letters. And they're saying, dear blah blah, I'm sending you this. I haven't broken the chain, honest. So there's a bit of fear behind it.
Yeah, it's weird.
I think they've died out, but
round
I don't think it's because mankind has stopped doing dreadful things and trying to con each other. I think that's evolved, isn't it?
Yeah,
found new ways
bored
to do
of
it.
That one.
Well, before we see and hear about the cards that Alex and Kate have brought along, I'll do a quick one of mine. And this is, of course, in the past postcard style, like I do on Twitter and in the book and stuff. An old card from which I've taken just a bit of the message. So it's actually a really pretty card. This is a black and white card of a place called Catolica, by the looks of it, in Italy. It hasn't come recently from northern Italy, so I think we're okay.
Okay.
Sent to Shrewsbury, Bellevue, just over the river in Shrewsbury. And the bit of the message that appealed to me, it just said, I'm having a lovely time here. This is Brenda writing. I'm having a lovely time here, and the weather is wonderful. The food is quite nice, but they dish up soup appearing like grated rice in vinegar.
God, that's horrible.
I've been to Italy and the food was pretty good.
Yeah. Grated rice.
I'll do another one.
I yearn for Shropshire's cooking is what that card is saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know, what do you get in Shropshire? Oh, some nice lamb or something, I don't know. They're staying in Europe. This is Austria, a sort of, it's like a beer keller to me. It's a guest house. It's called, for those who need to know, Batzenhausel. And this was sent to Bristol, Keynsham in Bristol. And what intrigued me about this is just the level of detail this person thought that Mr. Fisher would want to hear. And this is what Marion thought Mr. Fisher wanted to hear. She said, "We are using the water heater for a cup of coffee at the moment and then intend to have an early night."
After the water heater.
I don't know. It just struck me as sort of mundane, really. I'll remind you, everyone at home, that images, high-resolution scans of these pictures are going to be on the blog, as are all the cards we discussed today, so you can have a look at them and see that we're not making it up.
I hooked out a couple of my favourites.
Oh, yes.
Do you want me to read them?
Your favourite what's?
Yours.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you embarrass me. Please, feel
free. It's only a couple. Okay, it didn't say where it was from. It was a big stately home. No name. But it just said, "What did the lady tell us to stuff our peppers with?" I like that one.
Yes.
Yeah. I like your bizarre one. Denton Gardens in Worthing. Hope Bill is well and we'll be able to do something in the cupboard. What's that about?
I don't know. You have to ask someone 60 years ago.
I like that one. And then the scary one. This is the last one. It says, "Tonight we have been watching a clown disco."
Yeah, that's a strange one, isn't it?
Really scary, isn't it?
I must admit, I've reposted that a few times when it felt like it was a commentary on the world we live in.
The image of that one is... Yeah.
Maybe that... It's probably written before the sort of universally accepted belief now that clowns are scary.
Yeah, perhaps it was supposed to be fun.
Yeah, yeah. This is terrific. This clown disco. Yeah. It's one of my favourites.
I love it.
Right, well, let's start this off properly. So you both brought cards with you. Kate, let's start with the first one of yours. Now, this has bearing on your dad and family history, doesn't it?
It does. So, as you know, Chaz and Dave played just about everywhere across the country, up and down all the seaside places: Worthing, Bournemouth, Hastings, Margate, Windsor, Ilfracombe.
All good seaside postcard places.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And he would usually, very often, send a postcard to me, but it would be in character.
Right. What character?
His character was like, we'd have posh names, so he would be a major, and he was called Bimbo Clive Barkley. Right. So he would write as Bimbo Clive Barkley, right. Never as Daddy. No, it was always Bimbo, and I'm Phoebe Beaumont, right? So not Kate Garner. Don't ask me why, but that was the name. So he sent one from Widdicombe in the Moor, which, did you know the Widdicombe Fair little gin?
Oh, yes. I'd often put on the front of... Is the rhyme on the postcard there?
Yeah, hang on. Oh, I should have bought my glasses. Tom Pierce, Tom Pierce, lend me your grey mare. All along, down along, out along Lee. For I want to go to Widdicombe Fair. With Bill Brewer, Jan Stewart, Peter Gurney, Peter Davey, Dan Whidden, Harry Hawke, old Uncle Tom Cobley and all. Old Uncle Tom Cobley and all.
Okay. Yay! Amazing.
So that's that. And then over the... This is Bimbo. Hi, Dole. Hi, Dole. Just docking in. More news on its way. With Batley Tadwell, Tricia Plummett, Brinkley Farquharson, Bogey Tray, Purdy Bramwell, Old Grape Nut, and Bimbo Clive Barkley and all. And Bimbo Clive Barkley and all. Till we meet again, Phoebe. Bimbo, kiss.
Wow. That is a side of Chaz Hodges that I don't think anyone else would have come across.
I know. And that was that. So I would answer in the same way. You know, we'd all speak like that very nicely. Mum would just give us looks and make the tea.
Oh, really?
No, she would join in. It was just something that we, as we were growing up, we would do that. I suppose it's that kind of London thing, you know, when you sort of get round the piano after dinner and sing songs. We did. That's what we did. You know,
that was real.
Yeah, we'd all make up songs and do silly sketches and give ourselves characters, put on little scenes from shows. Mum put curtains up in the front room so we could have a proper show.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, it was a real thing, you know, that's what we did. And there was a time as I was growing up that we didn't have a telly at all.
Right. And that wouldn't have been because you couldn't afford it, was it? It was better things to do?
Yeah, it blew up.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, a mouse bit through the wire and there was a big fire. And I still remember it now. Mum and Dad were chucking buckets of water on it and that. It was in the middle of the night. We were all right. But well,
that could have been a Chaz and Dave song.
It could have been, couldn't it?
The mouse bit the cable.
Yeah. It could have been. Well, we were fine, but for about 3 years, we didn't get another telly. And that's when I started writing songs, sitting at the piano, making up songs, and then putting on our own little shows. So, it sort of...
Because as research for this, and obviously I know your dad's work very well just because you couldn't avoid it for so long.
No, yeah.
And I knew a bit about his work before Chaz and Dave, but when you read the story, I was reading his book, the book he wrote about the pair of them.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a sort of zealot thing going on, really. He was everywhere through British rock and roll from the earliest days.
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, he played with Jerry Lee Lewis and Gene Vincent. And he was always in demand. That was as a bass player, you know. That's where he did all his session work.
And he loved it. I got the impression from reading his book. He worked a lot. I mean, he's sort of this laid back style that we saw. He obviously worked very, very hard and just kept playing.
He just loved it. It was as simple as that. My dad was always happiest when there was music around, you know, whether he was playing it, listening to it, or we were all playing it together. he just loved it. And then when he got together with Dave in the early 70s, that's when they started writing songs together and then doing their own songs. And then Dad got on the piano. It was just a natural thing to do. Well, yeah, I'll go on the piano and that's what we'll do. So, yeah, he just loved playing. Yeah.
The other thing that struck me is, you know, watching this growing up and seeing on TV a lot,
yeah.
a lot, and hearing them in the charts and stuff, this whole Cockney rock thing they were doing sounded the most natural thing in the world.
Yeah.
But for him, it was, he had to make a kind of big mental leap to think, no, this, I should stop pretending to be Californian,
yeah,
like
exactly.
everyone else is in the mid-70s.
Yeah.
I need to bring more of my own self into the music. That must have been a
yeah.
huge thing.
I think this is it. I think they just thought, let's just be ourselves. Let's just do what we want to do and see what happens. We'd be having fun doing it. And I think an honest place is a good place to start with anything in life, you know, because people, well, you know what it's like. People see what they get, and I'm sure it's the same for you when you're doing your show. People, they smell it, don't they? They smell it. If something ain't right.
But I don't think they could have ever predicted that it would sort of touch such a nerve in the nation that they would suddenly be, you know, one of the biggest acts in the country.
Yeah.
It's... Really, with what something that could have been seen as quite an eccentric little act.
Exactly.
But suddenly just hit, and not just in the south of England either.
No, I can see what you mean. It was, I think, because it was all about fun.
Yeah.
Simple as that. And people connected with that. They thought, oh, you know, I sound like I know these people and they like that too. And Dad
yes.
always spent time.
They sound
time,
like old songs sometimes
yeah,
and they're not old songs.
Exactly. Old songs and old friends as themselves. People felt they knew them already. But that came from truth as well, because wherever they went, whatever gigs they were doing, always spent time talking to people and going to visit whatever. And they would always take time to talk to people because they were interested in people.
Yeah.
And I think that is something that people really related to, and they loved that. They didn't feel that they were being all starry, because even when they got really successful, they always found time to do that, to spend time with people and talk to them, because it's what they loved.
Something of that sort of rapport and that way of connecting people. I think the music industry has conferences
yeah.
to try and work out how to do that.
yeah, yeah.
But I think they
no.
just seem to have it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
your dad
natural.
In particular, I think. Yeah.
yeah. Oh, yeah. He just loved it. Yeah. I think this is why, you know, having this character, Bimbo Clive Barkley, he was very, as a writer, and as you are too, observational, and he loved observing people and characters. So this was obviously someone that he had observed somewhere, having afternoon tea in this grand hotel and thinking, oh, he's a good character, I'll pick up on him. So, yeah, that's all part of people watching and life, isn't it?
Very good. Well,
yeah.
look, we're going to come back to another card. I think another Chas Hodges card in a
yeah.
moment. But Alex, what's just slipped through your letterbox?
So this is a sort of a double of cards from my best friend from university, who is quite good at writing. She's quite good at writing cards. And so two, I found one from misty days of 2016 and one from the slightly less misty days of 2019.
I can just about remember them. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Don't ask me about yesterday, but I can just about remember them.
It was a different time. Theresa May was Prime Minister. It could be kind of, you know, it's a very, very different era. And so the... should I say the... the
yeah, what we better describe for the listener?
Well, instead of... instead of Widdicombe on Moor, in the Moor, we have... Q briefing James Bond in a still from the 1979 film Moonraker.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Great.
And so my friend is she's one of the smartest people I know, and she has a lovely fusion of both very highbrow and, let's just say for Bond, not as highbrow
okay.
Tastes. And so she's like a huge...
These are distinctions I try to just avoid.
yeah, yeah.
in the hope that I'll sound both highbrow and lowbrow at the same time anyway.
Right, exactly. It doesn't average to middle brow. It makes a kind of more interesting kind of brow topology that, or topography, is it? Anyway, so, yeah, so this is, it's Q giving, I suppose, Bond some sort of gadget. I don't
know. Sure. That's what he did, wasn't it?
It's what he did. He was big, you know, classic Q original from pre-Craig. And so this card, so it starts, Dear Hubs, and I can clarify that we have never been married, but we
so you say
currently. Well, so at university there was a sort of system whereby in the end of your first year you would sort of pair up with someone to act as kind of pastoral guides to people in the year below when came.
That's nice.
So they were sort of like you were university husband and wife, or less heteronormative combinations, right, if so preferred.
A good idea though, actually.
Yeah, I think so. And so but then that's a affectionate naming trend that we've kept through 8 years
so
after university.
More ridiculous nicknames.
Yeah. Exactly.
Keep the trend.
but I think there's a sort of so we continue to refer to each other as that despite proceeding through actual long-term relationships separately from our university relationship. And this is a card. So this 2016 card is card sent to a postcode W10, which is where I was living in between 2014 and 2018, and it was a weird house because it was we rented from a primary school, so we were it was a small cottage that me and three other kind of equally sort of comedians trying to make it sort of
got a house of comedians.
Kind of, it sort of became
wow.
it started very
could be
it,
wonderful.
it started very sort of Theseus has shipped from a house of three kind of professionals, accountants or legal journalists, and then me, but sort of doing a mixture of tutoring and comedy. And then over 4 years, everyone tagged out for someone increasingly more sort of arts wankery than the last. So it just became a house of, at the end, we had...
A lot of landlords would say, you know, no DSS, no comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I to my friends, I'm a comedian, but to landlords, I'm very much a tutor of maths A level.
Yes.
My two different.
Everyone needs a few hats.
Yeah.
Exactly, and so we rented from this primary school, and it was a former schoolkeeper's cottage, except. Adjacent to it. So on one side we had this primary school and the other side was a Carmelite monastery. So we were just so it was incredibly quiet. I think it was a fairly silent order, if not actually silent.
Well, where was this again?
So this is in Ladbroke Grove.
Wow.
And there's a Carmelite monastery in about 5 minutes walk north of Ladbroke Grove tube station. And so we had this bizarre situation where we're behind these black iron gates, and that so it was sort of a really weird, it was quite loud during school days, but then it meant that we had access to this massive car park. We had this sort of 25 foot high nunnery wall to our left, and then this school to the right, and it was just sort of, it was quite eerie in evenings and school holidays.
It was a bizarre
living place.
Yeah.
And so this card that my friend Alice sent me was thanking me for we had dinner at that house at some point, I think around Christmas 2016. I think I had her and some university friends on a night off from comedy. And this is a sort of thank you letter to the weird ghost house, the weird Carmelite ghost house that I lived in.
Does she make reference to the house?
I don't. She often does. In this one, mostly thank you. She broke a jug.
Oh.
She said in brackets, "How much do I owe you for that good jug? Glass jug, or can I Amazon you another?"
Oh,
and she's she's an excellent friend. But I think that is. I will absolutely dob her in here. I think she's an excellent friend. But I think that. If I'd called her on it, she would have. But I think that sort of dematerialised that offer for financial recompense. But I think a smash jug between friends is.
But she
fine.
Played quite a good line there as well by offering.
She did.
Oh yeah.
You then had to sort of pick up on it, and
yeah,
that was
exactly.
Very good.
Exactly.
But Well, that's interesting. And, of course, the thank you postcard. I think postcards, we know, they are dying out. They're not going to be dying, but they're dying out. And the thank you postcard is holding on.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to yeah. send a card, it's probably more likely to say thanks for something than it is to say we're at the seaside today.
Totally, yeah. It's
yeah,
my last
definitely.
Bastion of...
Yeah, no, it does. I always make my son sit down and do them at Christmas and his birthday, and he sort of goes through it all. But he then gets into it and he's all right. Oh, do I have to? And I think it's a good tradition to keep that going. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
It's and good people... manners.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. So you can have a sort of huge number of these commitments on your shoulder, things I should have written to thank people for. But anyway, but you've got to do your best.
Yeah.
And you've got another friend-style card.
So that's the follow. It's from her as well. So it's a follow-up. So that I thought
we can join up the dots
because it's a funny. So we can spot what might have happened in our lives from this. So there's. So Dear Hubs and was the opening for the first card, and then Much Love Wifey was so this stupid silly university. But her she's signing off in this one from late 2019 with ex-wifey.
Oh.
Now, let's tuck into that. So that was when she so in these intervening 3 years, she and her boyfriend got married, and so we had a sort of a necessary kind of ceremonial severing of our fictitious university pastoral marriage, and so from now we know each other now as ex hubs and ex wifey, and so I just thought it would be funny to see the transition in her genuine marital status.
And there's something kind of it's like a bit of a landmark, isn't it? That little joke. We'll stop that little joke.
Yeah, exactly.
We're getting a little bit old for that now.
there are sort of. Legal and kind of Catholic things that this interrupts. So, we must stop that now. And she has moved to DC in that period. So this is a card sent, I think, just before she moved to America. And it's a new address. So it's I moved to Crouch End.
I'm sorry to hear that.
again, such is the like pattern of early 21st century living, which is the constant moving, that even this address is now I moved this weekend, the constant rental merry-go-round. And this is a card from the Met in New York, and is a garden. It's a pleasure garden, and I think it's a Parisian pleasure garden.
Oh, wonderful.
I don't...
That's a really nice arty card, isn't it?
Nice.
That's the
nice.
Kind of card I'd buy for myself and use as a bookmark or something.
Yeah. Yeah, really nice. Exactly my vibe as well.
And, very good.
Yeah, I think...
So that's it. We've just captured the end of the that sort of imaginary marriage of whatever it was.
Exactly.
Inconvenience.
Exactly. But we still... I just love I do love the idea of a postman looking at this card and seeing the tone, like the end. I'm looking forward to summer reading the... I got her a book and looking forward to summer reading the swamp in the swampy climes of Washington, D.C. But I hope I'll see you before then, of course. Till soon, ex-wifey, kiss, kiss, kiss. And I just love the idea of a postman snooping on that, being like, well, they've got a very good post-marital relationship.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If only wow. everyone could get over the sort of weird bitterness of a collapsing yeah. relationship in such a lovely way.
And he gazes across the trees, saying, if only I could.
Exactly.
Do you think that they read them? Because my mother-in-law, actually, she said you should put them in an envelope because she said it gets there quicker.
Well, it's a big debate, this. It's a big debate.
Yeah.
Now, I'll unpack that.
Yeah, go on.
Gets there quicker. I see that a lot on cards. Yeah. I'm putting this in an envelope because it will get... I don't know that that's true. We're going to have to get some postmen on one day, actually.
I think we should test it. Yeah.
And I don't think postmen read the cards.
No.
Because I think they're quite busy and quite focused.
Yeah, let's face it.
I don't know, my postman, who is excellent, walks at a very accelerated pace to get that round done. And I don't think they've got time to stop and read some tedious postcard.
And it's very, manager of the sweet shop vibes, isn't it? In the same way that you'd be like, I think after 3 days of reading everyone's most intimate secrets, it's like, we get it, you do that, that's your weird thing that you're into, and just immediately become immune to the charms of violating people's privacy.
Mind you,
there was a time though, in villages and years ago, I think, when the whole thing was smaller.
And I bet that caught his eye because it's right at the end, isn't it? So it's like,
exactly. If he's trying to read my address, it's Mr. A. Keeley, and then above that, it's ex-wifey. The plot previously watery has thickened substantially.
They didn't have to read the address, so it's not like they.
Yeah.
And the eye might stray.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You're listening to Podcasts from the Past, the Postcard Podcast. My guests today are comedian Alex Keeley and musician Kate Garner. And surprise, we've received a postcard. And this is a postcard from B.S. Crow from Ferndown in Dorset. And B.S. Crow says, the answer to the competition question is lion. Well, I'm sorry, B.S. Crow, that's the wrong answer. Try again next time. So, Kate, now, what's the second card you've got for us?
I put my glasses on now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I have to.
Is it another one from your dad?
Yep, this is another bimbo. Bimbo Clive Barkley. He did put this in an envelope, which is why it hasn't got a stamp on it.
It's one of those black postcards.
Do you remember those?
Yeah. You'd buy a packet of them?
Yeah.
It's not a picture postcard, it's just a piece of postal stationery, I suppose.
So I don't know where it's from. It would have been one of these seaside towns, because it was always when he was away that he wrote these.
I like his fancy red ink, by the way.
It's good, isn't it? And then in place of the stamp, he's just drawn, I don't know, some sort of face with someone with just one strand of hair on the top, saying, oh, don't. That's all the stamp says. I don't know.
When was this written, out of interest?
Oh, this must have been about 25 years ago.
So, to me, that strand of hair, that's a Teletubby. It's fully a Teletubby, and I think you've got a lawsuit on your hands because that predates that Teletubby. Yeah. It's.
Are you telling me that Chas Hodges invented the Teletubbies?
Is for others to say.
This could be a useful extra revenue stream there, Kate.
It could. Right, thanks for that, Alex. I'll get onto that the minute this show is finished.
I'll take 1%.
Okay, just one.
Successful.
It's very generous of you.
Yeah, I think so.
So this one says, this is another of his characters called Tompy. So he says, dear Phoebe, just an update on Tompy. Somebody gave him a bloody banjo, only 3 strings in it, but he's gone for it in a big way. Beginning to be popular all over the shop. Goes out with big boots and a trilby. Well-heeled crumpet think the world of him. We'll keep you updated, Bimbo. Shall I do another one without swearing?
What swearing?
The bloody.
Oh, for goodness sake.
All right, well, I'm just checking. No, I didn't know how...
Bloody's fine.
I said arse wanker earlier, so that's going to have to be bleeped out.
We put a little E for explicit if it's rude, right. But it hasn't actually been rude
As I said
yet.
It, I blushed. I felt myself blushing.
How very proper of you. So, because he was a multi-instrumentalist, wasn't he? I mean,
he was. Yeah, he did play the banjo.
I was surprised.
So
at one point he played the fiddle.
He did, yeah.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, really good on that.
Because he started on guitar, really?
Yeah, guitar. And it was really through my nana, who you mentioned earlier, Daisy, that she said, oh, it'd be great if you played the piano. But really what that did prompt it, but Jerry Lee Lewis was the big turning point for him. Because he loved his style, and my dad's piano playing was that rock and roll style. So, things changed forever. Jerry Lee Lewis,
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Slightly hard to imagine that when you read back on these biographies. Yeah. To imagine that moment of coming across a bit of music or a style of music, and it just kind of changing the direction of your life like that.
Yeah.
Because we have everything now.
Yeah.
You can click on everything on YouTube, but...
It does.
It wasn't like that.
No, not at all. Well, the same happened with me, with the gramophone. I think I was about 12 and we went to a flea market, me and my dad, and I saw it and I'd never seen one before. I thought it was beautiful and he bought it for me and it came with a box of 78s and they were all of the 30s dance bands. And I just, that for me was my turning point because that... I was playing Stride
Piano. Back inside.
I know. I was more old-fashioned than him. It was just mad. And my piano playing was more old-fashioned because it was like my nana's, his mum's. She played Stride-style piano, and that's what I ended up playing. And then hearing these records as well just kept it going, and then I went out playing in pubs all over. And, yeah, just that's the way I played, like Fats Waller style, you know.
Very good. Exciting start to listen to.
Yeah, it's... I think also when you're used to playing on your own and accompanying yourself, you have to have a strong bass.
Yeah.
So that's really, it comes from practical reasons. Yeah. So you've got to keep it strong and lively and keep people's attention. Otherwise, you know, you can't be all sort of, otherwise you might just well be in a restaurant or a cocktail bar.
Yes. You don't want to be tinkling.
Fine, but no, it wasn't that sort of thing. It was getting people singing and come on, roll out the barrel. Yeah. So, yeah.
And this sort of 30s style is something that you've picked up on in this musical that you've written.
Yeah.
And where is that now? What status is that?
It's in development with Runaway Entertainment and they put on The Railway Children at King's Cross.
Oh, which was brilliant.
Yeah, did you really see it?
Yes, we took my niece. It was
lovely,
terrific.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Such a good staging as well. Such
really
fun.
Good. It's a shame, really. It's not there, but it was a pop-up style event.
Well, the Google building is there now.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, well, say no more.
What a perfect microcosm of everything.
Yes, exactly.
All in one.
Google.
In one square
foot.
Yeah.
So that was it's in development now, and we're hoping to stage it this year because it's the 100th anniversary of Queen Lucia, which was the first book.
That's the first one, isn't
it?
Right?
But we'll do that. It will be in London as a stage reading with the musical, with a band and everything, because I want people to really see how it's going to sound. The music's really important.
And it's
to
got
me.
That period feel, the music.
Yeah, it's very bit of Noel Coward, Cole Porter. You know, all them old classic American songbook style as well as Noel Coward style. I've got some great musicians together. And, we just want people to be singing and dancing and remembering it as they come out of the theatre and feeling good. It's all about fun. It really is. Yeah, it sounds like a simplistic thing to say, really. But I go out and I don't see a lot of fun. I see a lot of sad faces and I see people... It's good that you must have light and shade. It's important to have serious things to go and watch. It is, because that's life and that's how you learn. And I encourage that in my son. But I also encourage a big slice of fun because...
There's a bit of melancholy beneath the surface in Map and Lucia, though, isn't there? These people
are
living slightly...
They are.
Their dreams are slightly... they're misplaced, really. They're hoping for some social advancement in somewhere where it really doesn't matter.
No.
And it's not going to make them happy.
No, it's not. You're quite right. They're living in their own world, a battle of the social classes, but they don't even... But they do shut out the rest of the world because they don't put the clocks back and they just live
right?
in their, yeah, live in their own time zone. But it always interested me and I just thought the characters it would work so well on stage. And I just thought, right, I'll write the musical about it. And since then, there's been a lot of support from EF Benson Society down in Rye. They love it. So
great. Have you done a reading down at Lamb House? Or?
Yeah, funnily enough, yeah, I'm putting on a concert at Lamb House this summer. It's on EF Benson's birthday. So it's the 24th and the 25th of July. I'm having a big
heard it here
gig
first,
there.
Listeners.
Oh, yeah, this is the first plug of this. They'll be saying, oh, you're getting in there, Kate, getting in a bit quick. But yeah, there's two, and they're having a marquee in the garden.
Brilliant.
And we're going to be having 1920s cocktails and celebrating all things Mapa Lucia. So that'll be really good fun.
Very good, yeah. Very good. Oh, well, I look forward to hearing that. And, you know, good luck with it. These things are hard to get off the ground.
Thank you. Yeah, they are. You just got to... I think the key is just be obsessed. It's as simple as that, you know.
Do you find that the case in life?
Yeah.
Alex? Be obsessed.
I do. Absolutely. I wrote a good chunk of my Edinburgh show in the final first 3 days of this Fringe. I changed a lot, and because I was obsessively listening to Bruce Springsteen as I pounded the, and I just think your
Fantastic.
Brain then starts. You can like it could be any piece of music, and then your brain just starts making connections with those lyrics, whatever they are, and go, oh, that relates.
That's it.
It could be anything. It just
exactly.
if you listen to it enough, you just start overinterpreting phrases and lines, and then it helps.
I find sometimes if you dive into something deep enough, you can drown out the doubts as well.
Yeah.
So for a few hours, you're not saying what a stupid idea.
Yeah.
just do it.
That's totally true, and you have to. It has to be something that you are obsessed and passionate about because you spend a lot of time with it. And as you know, it changes all the time, draft after draft, things are changing and morphing all the time. So if you're kind of okay with it, you're going to get, it won't work.
Yeah.
You've got to really love it. Yeah. It's the only way it's going to work.
Very good. Oh, well, good luck with it. Good luck with it.
Thank you, Tom.
Now we move on. Alex. You've got a sort of ecstasy of blue tack here, I think. I always say the same thing. Blue tack is a sign of love on a postcard. So these must have been on a wall somewhere.
They were. So they were. Now let's. Do I say where they're on the wall truthfully, or where they're on a wall such that it doesn't contravene any tenancy agreements I signed about collecting blue tack?
Use the blue tack. Absolutely. Read that.
But it's the So when moving out on Saturday, we were doing using the one massive bit of blue. Tack, rolling it like a piece of dough on other bits of blue tack on the wall to try and get that blue tack off.
These are the skills of life, aren't they?
So these are two. So these are not postcards that have been sent to me. These are postcards I like. I like buying a. So I think the main phenomenon that always occurs in a museum, I don't know whether you'll agree with me, is that any time I go to a museum and I see an exhibition and there's a painting that I love, that makes it a 100% certainty that painting will not be one of the postcards available to buy. It's always like,
agreed.
This is obviously the best one.
Yeah.
Why have you not tried to monetize this?
Yeah.
I want to give you money. And I don't usually want to give people money.
I want it on a notebook, on a poster.
But it's always the best ones up. But I really liked this one. And so this was a Royal Academy exhibition, America After the Fall, paintings in the 1930s, and it's a, I think, Helen Lundeberg, and so it's just such a funny painter. It's called Double Portrait of the Artist in Time.
Oh, wow, look
and
at
it's,
that.
And it's a child, and they're casting a sort of adult-sized shadow.
That's her shadow, is it?
Yeah, and then so it's her shadow casted. And then that shadow itself is kind of meeting up with a different self-portrait of her as an adult rather than as a child. And so it's just sort of optical illusion, kind of playing with perspective, and then sort of this kind of weird sort of happy, sad nostalgia thing that's happening all in one. So
quite
I really
unsettling,
like that.
Actually.
Yeah, it's really, it's quite creepy in a way. And then that lovely little, as we're all, I love the like...
Is that a crystal ball?
No, so it's a clock, and it really has that kind of
a clock
15th century vibe or 16th century vibe of putting objects next to you to denote things, and you've got
hugely symbolic.
Exactly, she's like holding a flower or like a bit of sort of flower stem, so that's like the vitality of now, and then there's like a clock which is like yes, but death will come to us all. Like at the on like I love any objects like we're alive now, but death will come to us all in two objects, and then there's a similar. I don't know what she's holding. Anyway, so I really liked that.
Yeah,
and put that
that's
up.
Interesting.
Where was that stuck? You can tell me.
And so that was stuck.
You'll be long gone from that place by the time it's
out. Well, yes, by the time it goes out, we're actually currently in a deposit war with the landlord. Oh, but yes. I think we'll be fine because the deposit agency is actually very generous to tenants. It's the one part of our system that's good. But yes, this was in my bedroom in Crouch End, and I put up a few. Each time you move, there's like some things that end up going into more storage. I'm like, oh, I'm too old to have that picture of Jack White holding a guitar from the White Stripes. I can't have that.
But in a couple of years, it'll mean more. You think, no, oh, that was when I was young.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't lose that.
But I have to. It'd be when I can feel like I can afford to buy a nice print and then put it in it. But I think a sort of manky Q magazine cover from 2007 on my wall is not appropriate any longer. So that's that one. And then there's another one which is Blue Tack-On, and it's just an aerial shot of Barcelona's Sagrada Familia. Which I think they've done. I think they've been optimistic in this shot because it there's fewer cranes than a real. It's a very crane heavy shot. I think they've managed to find one picture.
Has it had cranes finished around it kind of non-stop since the war? Or?
I think so, and it's just. They say, and I love this phrase, they say it's going to be finished soon.
Bloody builders.
But, we talk about the completion of the Sagrada Familia in a way that a medieval church will, like a medieval village would talk about the return of some wizard shaman that hasn't been seen for many years. And it's like, they say it will be finished soon. Yes, they do say that.
Yeah, right.
But the medieval cathedrals did take 100 years to build.
That's true.
So maybe this is the only sort of modern era version of that we've come across.
It's incredible. Have you been?
I've never been. No.
It's no,
been to Barcelona.
I'd love to.
It's still really worth. Like obviously it's not, but it sort of feels. It's sort of mad where large chunks of it are completely finished, and then there's just sort of entire towers that haven't been built yet. But it's just it is incredible. I feel like not in height terms, but if you were trying to do a sort of Tower of Babel now. That's
right.
But if it's explicitly a monument to God rather than to humans, then right. Maybe you're getting away. Maybe that's a technicality out of the Tower.
You bought this there.
I bought that in Barcelona. I wonder whether I bought that at Sagrada Familia or whether I did this sort of appalling thing where you're at the airport being like, oh, I've got 20 minutes. I've still got some euros. I'll buy a Sagrada Familia. Even though I was at the Sagrada Familia, I will in Barcelona airport buy a Sagrada Familia. A postcard.
Right. I think you're allowed to buy a postcard in the area. And
yeah,
so there's no,
definitely.
You don't actually
same postcode, then that's okay.
Exactly,
that's
okay. It's a postcode thing.
Yeah.
So those are those two, and that's, yeah, I usually decorate. I find postcards a good. Postcards and cards from friends, something that I keep up on walls.
And are they places that are beautiful, or images that are beautiful, or are they an expression of you?
Ooh.
So you look interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sure, of course. Yes, putting postcards on walls are my version of having nice, interesting clothes that say something interesting about the same performative thing. But yeah, I think it's a mixture of all those. And I think also things from friends. Like I've got a very old card that a friend made of me, which was me as a... I was nicknamed Pottle by a friend because I accidentally tried to say pot and kettle at the same time. I accidentally said the word Pottle, which has not made it into the dictionary yet. Each year it's Youthquake, which the Oxford Dictionary announces as the word of the year. Like, come on, when's Pottle getting in there? So I look less crazy. And then so she built a card with me as a kettle with my face on it. And it was like a good luck exam card. And I still have that on my wall just because I find that such a funny, both piss take, but also very sweet.
Yeah, what a great friend.
Yeah, absolutely. Great friend.
And it's part of you now, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, exactly. That's,
Well, thank you so much, both of you, for bringing these cards along and sharing these stories and red ink and bits of blue tack. I've said it before, I never know where the postcards will send us. I'm delighted that you shared them with us and the listeners. Another quick reminder for everyone at home, we're going to have images of these cards on the blog, postcardfromthepast.co.uk, including one last one of the past postcard style from me, which you'll know from the book and the Twitter. This is a card from 1980, Ambleside in Cumbria. A rather sort of desolate side of the lake image. Quite pretty.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
There's something, it's a J. Arthur Dixon card, and they did print in these rather pretty muted colours. I don't know why, but and very nice. And what intrigued me about this is just the level of detail about the caravan. Well, the caravan's very, very popular in postcards, and they just say the caravan is super. It has a lounge, breakfast room, 3 bedrooms, and the breakfast department can be a bedroom, toilet, and kitchen department. Now, to me, this sounds like something from Q and James Bond. It's extraordinary.
It does.
Sounds like a fantastic caravan.
Yeah, wow.
I've never been on a caravan holiday, but I think that would be great. It's like being in a mansion.
Oh, yeah. Luxurious.
Well, before we let Kate and Alex out into the slightly sunny Soho afternoon, I've got one more postcard for you both. It's customary for us to end the show with one of these.
Oh.
I don't know if you've seen one of these before.
Oh, no. Look at this.
Oh, wow. So wait, does that do what?
It plays.
Does it do what? Oh, my God.
Does it play?
Can you describe it for us, Kate?
Yeah. Oh. Okay, so it's a singing postcard.
It is.
It's enormous.
And the picture?
And the picture, is that London?
It's Piccadilly Circus, right?
Piccadilly Circus, and it's got
chosen
a
slightly
on it.
With your dad's London connections in mind.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you can actually put that on the turntable and play it.
Well, if we ask young Tom very nicely, he has technology next door, and we can see if we can make it.
I'd love to hear it. I'd love to. My dad would have loved that.
That's great.
I remember when he
probably saw them, I'm sure.
Yeah,
he
did. Anything like that. I remember he had given a gold disc once, one of them, and he played it. He got it out of the frame.
And did it
played
work?
It. Yeah.
Interesting.
Do you know what
you
it
often,
was?
It wasn't his record.
Sting.
How upsetting.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a nice noise.
Street lamps aglow and newsboys calling. City I know.
Quite syrupy.
It is, yeah. It's like the Adams Singers on Sunday. Do you remember that?
In my heart I keep recalling the London I love.
This is a very different take on London music.
Yeah, they
from
don't
Chaz
sound
and Dave.
Like Londoners, that's right. A bit different to the Sideboard song.
So you could put this in an envelope and send it, or you could just send it like that.
What? They should do these again, shouldn't they?
I think so.
I think they'd sell well.
It's been usurped by the birthday card, record your own message tech.
Yes.
But this is much cooler. What's they've got? New version going to be a USB, like a lovely QR code that you scan. Not as good as a vinyl. Well, sorry, the most obnoxious way of phrasing that.
Well, I always say the same thing. It's not bad for a piece of cardboard. I mean, really. I've bought records secondhand that sound worse than this.
Yeah,
no, it's...
Oh.
Oh, no, it's... Oh,
Well, as the...
That's because you spoke.
As the cardboard Eros continues to rotate at exactly 33 and a third revolutions per minute, that's it for this time on Podcast from the Past. I'd very much like to thank my first-class guests for sharing the postcards from their past, Kate Garner and Alex Keeley. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Cheers, Tom.
And thank you for listening. Bye for now. And see more postcards with their messages posted every day on Twitter. Do follow me at Past Postcard. And you can buy the book Postcard from the Past by me, Tom Jackson, at Amazon and all good booksellers. And if you're looking for podcast production, check out wardorstudios.co.uk.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.